What's up, everyone? This is Anthony Pompliano. Most of you know me as Pomp. You're listening to the Pomp Podcast, simply the best podcast out there. Now let's kick this thing off.
Will Clemente is a finance major at East Carolina University. He's quickly become one of my favorite writers on all things Bitcoin, including deep dives on various on-chain analytics. You can subscribe to Will's new email by clicking on the link in the description that I've provided. In this conversation, we discuss the supply squeeze, strong hands buying, dormancy looking better, and what happens when Bitcoin broke $42,000 yesterday. I really enjoyed this conversation with Will, and I hope you do as well. Before we get into this episode, though, I want to quickly talk about our sponsors. First up is Gemini. They're a leading regulated cryptocurrency exchange, wallet, and custodian that makes it simple and secure to buy, sell, store, and earn Bitcoin, Ether, and over 40 other cryptocurrencies. They offer industry-leading security, insurance, and uptime. Gemini is the go-to trusted platform for beginner and sophisticated investors alike. You can open a free account in under 3 minutes at gemini.com/pomp and get $20 of Bitcoin after you trade $100 or more within the first 30 days. Again, you can open a free account in under 3 minutes at gemini.com/pomp and you'll get $20 of Bitcoin after you trade $100 or more within the first 30 days. Go check it out. Next up is Polymarket, the world's leading information markets platform, where you can trade on the most pressing global questions all on the blockchain. You can choose from a variety of markets. Will Cardano support smart contracts by October? Will the U.S. have more than 100,000 COVID cases before 2022? Will Trump run for president? With over $100 million traded in the first year, Polymarket is the go-to platform to settle the biggest debates of the day. Think you know more than the market? Trade on your beliefs and earn a return if you're right. Want tomorrow's news today? Use Polymarket to see real-time data on what the market thinks will happen. No fake news, no pundits without skin in the game. So head over to polymarket.com and make an account today. For a limited time, if you sign up with the referral code POMP to get your first trade reimbursed up to $100. Again, go click on polymarket.co/pomppod or use the referral code POMP when you sign up for an account and you'll get your very first trade up to $100 reimbursed by the platform. Go check it out at polymarket.co. Last but not least is Bubble. Do you have a business idea you've been dreaming about but don't know how to actually start building it? Use Bubble's drag and drop tool to develop custom interactive multi-user web apps in hours. Go to bubble.io to build, launch, and scale real ideas and products without engineers or code. Bubble is the go-to no-code platform for over 1 million builders and has recently closed a $100 million funding round to continue supporting startups like yours from MVP to IPO. Go to bubble.io/pomp and the first 500 listeners will get their first month free on any of Bubble's paid plans. Again, bubble.io/pomp and the first 500 listeners get their first month free on any of the paid plans. Bubble's awesome. I think you'll really enjoy it. So make sure you go check it out. All right, let's get in this episode with Will. Hope you guys enjoy this one.
Anthony Pompliano runs Pomp Investments. All views of him and the guests on his podcast are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Pomp Investments. You should not treat any opinion expressed by Pomp or his guests as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of his personal opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
Bitcoin is ripping. $42,800 literally went up $500 since we went to commercial. I don't want to say that we did that, but I do want to say that Will Clemente is here, and maybe that's what's going on. Let's bring Will up. When we went to commercial, I got on the Zoom and I said, "Will, you good?" And his exact response to me was, "Damn, y'all lit." What's up, man?
Boys are going crazy this morning. What's going on, man?
How are you?
I'm doing well, especially after watching this price chart here the last 5-10 minutes.
All right, let's start first with the on-chain metrics for the week. I know that you've done a bunch of the analysis as usual, and you're starting out with this URPD metric, which is basically on-chain volume. Explain what you're seeing.
Yeah, so URPD is basically, like if you think of a volume profile, it's usually used, like if you're in TradingView or something on the side of the screen. It's basically just a horizontal volume distribution metric. And so showing you like how much Bitcoin has moved at different price levels. And so when we look at this, we have this massive zone of volume. Obviously, we've been in this range for like 2-3 months now. We've had almost 22%, 21.7% of supply has moved in this range. And then we have this massive bar of volume at about 39.5. and 2.6% of Bitcoin's money supply moved at that bar, which makes it the largest single zone, like single bar of distribution at that price level since 3,800. So, you know, we're building up this huge, what I believe is kind of this mid-cycle support, possibly, you know, if we had another macro bear market, perhaps some kind of like macro bear market bottom level that we're forming here, because we have so much volume, especially at that 39.5 level.
Got it. And then you created this top bottom model. What's going on with the top model bottom?
Yeah. So there's a lot here, but just to like kind of break it down, an easy way to understand. The top model is a variant. It's basically a multiplier of the average cap of Bitcoin. So like the all-time moving average of Bitcoin. The light green line that you'll see, the second one to the bottom, that's realized cap. So that's the, well, realized price is just you're dividing the cap by circulating supply. But this is the average price that investors paid for their coins. And then the very bottom line, the dark green one, is delta price. So delta cap is the difference between the all-time average, the all-time moving average cap, and realized cap. So you can, you know, plotting that out, you can get almost this like cheat sheet for looking at kind of these over underheated zones. You know, Bitcoin has always historically stayed between the delta price and the top model. But then also adding in like the realized price, you can get a good zone to accumulate, you know, at the bear bottom. And then also you can get some good zones to, you know, start de-risking towards the top of the cycle. But then I put this midline, which is basically the mean between the delta price and the top price. And so this is kind of like served as a good like confirmation level for bull markets in the past. It was the level, obviously, like 2013 got back above it, but then broke below this, and that kind of led us into the bear market. In 2017, we rejected off of it, and then once we kind of broke back through that, retested it as support, that kind of gave us the next leg up. It was also where we bounced off on the dead cat bounce. So like after we had that initial euphoric run up, then we had that second, what people call dead cat bounce. So it's a higher low. I mean, it's a lower high. So basically a bearish retest, and that bounced off that midline as well. And then this year we kind of bounced off it as support in January. And then, we broke through that in mid May, and that was kind of like the mark where we kind of just dropped off a cliff after we broke through that level. So right now it's at 53K, and that's something I would be looking for like full confirmation that we are in, you know, a new bullish uptrend.
Okay. And then talk to us about this illiquid supply shock ratio. I know that we've been talking this now for 2 or 3 weeks, kind of this idea of a supply squeeze. What's going on there?
Yeah, absolutely. This is something I've been excited to finally see get played out because I was pushing it so hard. But there's two ways to look at this. So you have a more qualitative view of this, and then also a more quantitative. So the illiquid supply shock is the more qualitative. So it's looking at what's the spending behavior of the entities that these coins are moving to. And so what you see, and this is the blue line, this is showing you that more coins are moving to what's on-chain considered these strong hands, these illiquid entities. And then also you see the purple line, that's more of a quantitative way to look at the supply shock. So it's literally saying, what's the ratio between the amount of coins that are available to be bought on exchanges relative to the overall circulating supply? And you see, you know, if you overlay them both, I mean, they move pretty much in unison. But yeah, you're seeing divergences in both of those that I don't think have fully gotten priced yet, you know, because these are divergences that have been growing for 2-3 months and then really rapidly over the last 2-3 weeks. And I think price is lagging big time here.
Got it. And then when we look at who's actually buying, I know that there's a ton of kind of supply held by retail, it looks like.
Yeah. So like breaking the accumulation down by like who exactly is accumulating in terms of size, what you see is that like all across the board, every major cohort is accumulating, aside from like the 100 to 1,000 cohort, which is kind of just trending sideways. But what you see is retail has really stuck out over the last, well, actually since the March, I mean, the May capitulation, but especially over the last few weeks, their holdings have kind of hockey sticked upwards. And like the way I looked at this in the newsletter was comparing all of these entities' holdings with less than 10 Bitcoins, and then dividing that by the circulating supply. So you get basically the portion of supply that retail holds. That makes sense. And you've seen that that's really gone on a tear since May 19th. So, you know, retail, although people like to talk about how, oh, it's all whales move the market, retail's been holding their own. Retail's really been a driver of this reabsorption process that we've been tracking.
Got it. And then when you start thinking about within that, the short-term holders and the long-term holders, this seems to be like one of, if not the most important charts, just showing that the long-term holders are accumulating.
Yeah. So this is comparing. So like in the past, we've looked at the raw short-term and long-term holdings, but this is comparing their holdings to the overall supply. So you're just getting the portion of supply that each of them holds. So very similar to what we just did with retail holdings. And so what you see is like historically, whenever Bitcoin starts moving up, it gets to a certain level of holdings that of from long-term holders, because, you know, of course, they're locking up supply. So it's very similar to the supply shock thing. It's kind of a more abstract way to look at it. But right now we're at about 66% of supply held by long-term holders, whereas like kind of in mid-October of last year, when we started really running up into the main bull phase, we got up to about 68%. So yeah, that's just something I'd be keeping an eye on. Like, are these long-term holders going to continue to add, or are they just going to dump on any sign of exit liquidity, right? Like if we start going up to whatever, 45K, all of a sudden, you know, long-term holders are just dumping, like that's not going to be a good sign, because that kind of resembles what happened in the dead cat bounce after the 2013 pump.
For sure. And then dormancy, what's that looking like right now?
Yeah, so dormancy is basically looking at the amount of destruction, but it's adjusting it for volume. So like destruction is an on-chain term looking at, so like if you have a coin in a wallet for one day, it has one coin day. And then if it's moved out of that wallet, it's now got one coin day destroyed. And so then dormancy adjusts this for volume. So you get the raw, you take the time component out of it, and you only are looking at the raw amount of destruction. And so like plotting that out over time, you can basically see, you know, like are older coins being sold. But what David Puel, he took the annualized dormancy in dollar terms, and then divided market cap by the annualized dormancy in dollar terms. So taking the dormancy today, you know, how many dollars have been destroyed, and then multiplying that out over 365 days. And so what you see here is like we have this almost full reset of dormancy, and that to me is showing like it's partially affected by the fact that we've had lower transfer volume, because by definition, you're going to have lower coin days destroyed because less coins are trading. But also to me, it's showing that the noobs are slowly getting flushed out. So like you can also look at other things like the raw average age of the coins being sold. We can even look at something called spent output age bands, and that looks at basically like these different bands based on the age of the different entities that hold the coins. So anyway, so like I think it is partially affected by lower transaction volume, but overall what this is showing to me is that we kind of had this reset of noobs in the market, and we can kind of build this foundation to move upwards. Cause the other times you've seen this were actually in major bear market bottoms. So in late 2018, 2015, and then also after the 2011, like initial pump when Bitcoin was, you know, first brought out to the market. So.
Got it. And then SOPRA, I know that you're now looking at kind of this adjusted version. Explain again what SOPRA is and then the adjustments that you're making.
Yeah, sure. SOPRA is basically looking at the profit taking that coins hold on any day. That's a good way to think about it. So SOPRA is basically just adjusting out the 1 hour transaction. So it's kind of just filtering out the noise. You can also look at entity adjusted, but I just threw in a SOPRA for this one. But you can look at both to kind of get like a more accurate picture. And then you can also look at long and short term, just for anybody who's interested. But so we had this breakout above one, which is basically the threshold for like profit or loss. So if SOPRA's trading above one, then the market's trading in a state of profit. If it goes below, it's stating in loss, right? So what you wanted to see, and we talked about this like 2 weeks ago, was for SOPR to perhaps break out and then either retest that one line on a price move down and then kind of stabilize. And what we've actually seen this week is we had that move down after we initially got rejected off 42K. We actually did bounce off that one line. And that's a bullish sign, because in bull markets, you see SOPR, that one threshold is kind of that mark for where bottoms are in corrections. Like if you go back and look at it from like December to March, I mean, almost every time that SOPR dipped below one, it was like a perfect buy the dip opportunity. So yeah, I would like to now just see it stabilize. So now that we've got that, correction in price and then bounce off one, I now just kind of like to see it stabilize above one.
Minor accumulation?
Yeah, nothing really new here. Just miners still buying.
And the miners, they've been buying now for weeks and just continuing to do that. No sign of that slowing down. It's actually accelerating maybe a little bit.
Yeah, slightly. So like I threw in the 30-day change so you can look at their actual miner balance and just be like, oh, they sold today or they, bought some today. But I think it's really noisy. So like this is the 30-day change. So taking, today's August 6th. So looking at August 6th and then the difference between now and July 6th. And that's the net change. And so like when you see there's a clear trend in the net change, that's showing like this broader trend, right? Because it's going to take a larger trend to affect it, this metric just by definition. So yeah, I think this is a better way to look at it if you're trying to follow what miners are doing. And yeah, like you said, this is really showing no sign of slowing down anytime soon.
Got it. And the last one is kind of you present a little bit of a bear case. So if you had to make an argument against what I think is your position as to being bullish, it's basically the on-chain metrics around transaction volume.
Yeah. This is kind of the one thing that is a red flag to me is the fact that we don't have more on-chain activity in terms of like when you look at the mempool or just the number of transactions, active addresses, all these kinds of things, which I personally suspect are kind of lagging indicators. I think if you start to see higher prices, we start to move towards like, I don't know, 45K plus, start moving towards 50K. I think you'll start to see an uptick in this as volume picks up and people become interested in again. But yeah, I think part of this has just been the fact that we've been ranging sideways for 2 or 3 months. And I think of these as more of lagging indicators, but this is something you want to look for. If we start to move back up, obviously you're going to want to see, this transaction activity, come back in as well, but I suspect it will, but you never know. And it's just something to keep an eye on.
Got it. And then the question that everyone wants to know is while we are recording this, Bitcoin just broke $42,000. And you previously had identified that as a pretty big resistance. What do you think happens from here, fully knowing that you can't predict the future, but what is your thought process as to where we go?
Yeah, so like we've just broken horizontals resistance at 42K, and then we've also broken this diagonal resistance line. If you draw from like the wick up in the 60Ks, and then we also retested that on the way down when we came back to like we retested 60K and hit it, and then we retested it a couple of days ago. Anyway, so what I'm saying is we just broke out of two major trend lines, right? So both diagonally and horizontally. So I think there's really nothing but hair here till about 48K. But I think the 200-day moving average is going to give a bit of resistance, and that's right around 45K right now. So I'll be watching to see. We might take a pause, a little breather there, because that's kind of a mark that a lot of people in traditional finance look at to see kind of like, if an asset is in like a bullish or bearish phase, I guess you could say. I would be looking for that, but I'm targeting right now 49, 50K and seeing how we're going to kind of react there over the, I think it'll perhaps play out over the coming weeks.
Got it. Is there anything that people should be watching out for as we kind of break through that 42 and on the way up other than prices? Is there anything on chain that you'll look for?
Just in general, like one thing was the volume, right? We were talking about how we want to see that pick up. That's one thing. And then also the long-term holder, you don't want to see them dumping and just looking for some kind of exit liquidity like we talked about earlier, SOPR stabilizing. And then in the very short term, just you can look at futures data, just see how funding's looking, look at OI and just basic stuff like that for like very short term price movements.
Got it. Before I let you go, everyone loves when Will comes on. People even say Will season. What's kind of your final words or anything that you want to share with folks?
Hang in there, guys. This thing's going to pop.
I love it. All right. Well, thank you so much for doing this every week. You're doing fantastic work. As I've told people, I'd say without you here, you by far, I think, are leading the charge when it comes to on-chain metrics. And people are waking up to how important a lot of that data is. So folks can go follow you on Twitter or subscribe to your newsletter. Where should we send them on Twitter or the newsletter?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me on, man. I hope you guys get hype again. I know this is a little information heavy, but I'm going to be watching after I get off. So you guys better get the energy going again. You could find me on Twitter at W Clementi III. And then I have my newsletter is BTC by WC3 at Substack.com, which is also my Twitter bio.
Killing it, man. Thank you so much for doing it. We'll do it again next week.
Yes, sir. Take it easy, Pomp.
All right. Sounds good.